Yes.
About physical pain, because you know sometimes it feels, oh yeah, I can kind of deal with a certain level of pain where I can be with it. But every now and again, there's a kind of a level of pain where it's, oh well, that's too much. I don't know too much to do what with, but it's too intense to somewhere else. Yes. So, what is the a technique for kind of? I don't know what would it, you know, being okay with whatever level of pain.
Well, there's a number of different approaches that sometimes the way life works is that there are certain physical conditions where their morphine no longer works and that, you know, there's no drug that you can take that will ameliorate it or make it go away. When the mind might say, I can't deal with this, well, it's going to be there whether there's a feeling of dealing with it or not. With respect to physical pain, the teaching of the arrow is extremely helpful in that respect, that the first arrow, physical pain, is unavoidable. But the second arrow is all of the negotiating, resenting, the contensing up around it, that agitation that forms around physical pain. And the original Salla Sutta, it only mentions physical pain rather than mental pain. Just having that as a model in the mind, knowing that there can be pain, but the mind can be completely at peace with it. So that doesn't mean you don't do anything about it, but that basic ground of there can be physical pain and it can be absolutely not a problem. So then in terms of working with it in meditation practice, usually for most people, the instinctual reactive pattern in relationship to pain is tensing up against it and fearing what it's going to turn into. So aversion and fear are the two instinctual reactions to pain, in my experience, and the kind of main tracks. So to lean away from that, then to consciously generate the mind of acceptance. So loving kindness, metta as acceptance, not trying to make yourself like it, but that sense of open-heartedness, here it is, whether I like it or not. So that radical acceptance of that. So softening the attitude towards it, and to the extent possible, establishing the attitude of not waiting for it to be over, not getting into negotiation or resentment or worry, but just here it is, it feels like this. And then its partner is then the relaxation of the body. So wherever you're feeling the physical pain, whether it's in your neck or your shoulders, your back, or your knees, to the degree possible, relaxing that area of the body, because again, the instinctual reaction to pain is to tense up against it as a kind of some sort of relief that we get by, you know, by resisting. But then the more tension in the system tends to create more causes for pain. So it's a bit counterintuitive, but relaxing the body in the area where the pain is being felt, where the instinct is to tense up against it and resist it. So counteracting the fear and aversion with loving kindness in the attitude and then relaxation in the body, I would say, is the sort of key approaches. And then the third thing, I often like to mention that there's six or seven or more instances where the Buddha is giving a Dhamma talk and he'll turn to Mahakachana or Ananda or Sariputra and say, Kachana, my back is paining me. The assembly is still awake. I'm going to lie down and stretch my back. You carry on giving a Dhamma talk because the assembly is still alert and ready for teachings. So this is the Lord Buddha ready to interrupt his own Dhamma talk in order to take action to reduce the painful feeling in the body out of kindness towards the body and give the body a different situation to be in so that it can function more comfortably and effectively. So when we talk about enduring pain or working with pain, it doesn't mean just freezing yourself or never changing posture, but rather this is often that the advice I give in guided meditation is to be with the physical pain for a certain amount of time and then use your intuitive wisdom. And then when there's an intuitive sense of, okay, that joint has had enough, that's really being stretched beyond its limit, out of kindness to the body, then let the posture change rather than changing from a reactive, aversive place, investing in the pain going away and then fearing that the pain's going to come back again. If it's an act of kindness towards the body rather than an act of aversion towards the pain, then that cause being wholesome and kindly has its own beneficial relaxing effect. But I'm also conscious that Lumpur Pasanna has much more physical pain to work with than I do. So I'm sure he's got some items to offer on this area.
That's basically what you gave us. That's a great beginning. Just being patient and not getting too caught up in the story is all. We're great at spinning out stories.
Yes.
Jayasaro tells a story of in Vietnam, when they were treating the Vietnamese peasants and farmers, they gave them very little morphine compared to the Americans who were paying for treatment and expect no pain, giving them sort of 8 to 10 times more morphine in America than they are giving to for the same pain relief. So sometimes it's expectation as well, that you know, expecting no pain because you're paying for healthcare, and you just demand having lots more morphine. Yeah? So I think there was a lesson there that the Vietnamese were used to having no healthcare, so just to get a little bit of morphine and a little bit of pain relief was enough for them. You know? So there's something to do with the attitude of the mind.
The attitude is the key piece, because they're, not to be too pessimistic, but it's not uncommon when diseases are in an advanced state that painkillers stop being effective. And there's a certain point where the mind just has to be accommodating, or is just in a state of grief and resentment and distress continually because of the painful feeling. The more that we can prepare ourselves and be able to find that place within us that's not resenting or negotiating or feeling things are unfair, then we're much more prepared for those times where the morphine or the OxyContin won't work anymore. Any medical input on that?
There are some kinds of pain that are not very responsive to morphine, like neuropathic pain, particularly nerve pain. And that's a real task to deal with. Some of the pain control issues in later stages of cancer or whatever are because they're not getting actually very good pain management, and actually you can often get more pain relief with more morphine, and there's really no upper limit to the amount that you can take as long as you do it the right way. So a lot of the intractable pain that sometimes people feel like they're having in the advanced stages is maybe due to poor pain management. Yeah. But as you were saying, there are some kinds that are just almost intractable, like neuropathic pain is really hard to treat.